Father God, we thank you and praise you for the privilege of coming and worshipping you in the beauty of holiness. We thank you and praise you for the different aspects of our service this morning, all to just worship you and to honor you. As we continue our worship, we pray, Father, that you'll help us to understand what you're saying to us. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while we wait on you. We pray, Father God, that you'll help us to hear from you. If it's uncomfortable, we pray that you'll help us to deal with it. If it's something we need to put right, we pray that you'll give us the courage to do that. If we need encouraging and building up, we pray that you'll help us to take that from your word this morning as well. And so we pray that you will just take control of our minds and our hearts and our lives as we consider your word together. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory alone. Amen. So the last Sunday of 2018 is scary, isn't it? When you think of, it just seems 5 minutes ago we were here a year ago. But what I'd like us to do is sort of to challenge our hearts and to encourage our hearts as well. And we need to look back, that's good, but we need to make sure that we don't look back in anger. Okay, is that a song? It used to be a song, didn't it? By who? Yeah, thank you very much. That's who said that, but that's sad that we know that, isn't it? It's easy to look back with anger, isn't it? You look back over those situations that have hurt us in the past year and to be angry about it. Or maybe to look back and recall a conversation that you had with somebody and they said something which was unwise and hurtful and you look back and it's easy to become angry about it, isn't it? And there are so many things, perhaps, suffering with some physical problem and issue. And so, well, why didn't God do something about it? And you look back, and it's easy to become angry, even with God or with others and ourselves. But I think we need to make sure that we don't look back with anger, because that doesn't help at all. What we are to do, as far as God's word is concerned, James chapter 4, verse 8, we have to do something. It says, come near to God. And that's what we have to do. When we look back, and yes, there's bound to be things that have hurt us. Yes, there's times that we have made stupid mistakes. There's times that we have sinned. But we need to come near to God. The wonderful and thrilling promise is this, that when we come near to him, he said, I will come near to you. In other words, when we do our part in the Christian life, the Holy Spirit will do his. And we are to come near to God, and the promise is that God will come near to us. Obviously, in one sense, there's a way in which we are always near God. In one sense, we are always near him. Look at Psalm 139 and verse 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle to the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand uphold me and hold me fast. So in one sense, we are never, ever far from God. So he's with us. But in another sense, we are far from him because he is a holy God and we are sinful. And so therefore, we're separated from him. Ephesians 4 verse 18 says this, there are darkness in the understanding, and we're separated from God because of the ignorance, and they are hindering our hearts. The amazing thing is this, that God invites us, God urges us, God pleads with us to come to him. And that's a fact that is repeated all through the Bible. God urging and pleading and longing that we come to him. And as we come to James, he's saying just that very, very same thing. How then can a sinful individual, sinful men and women, boys and girls, come near to a holy God? Because sometimes I do think we forget the holiness of God and how pure he is and how sinful we are. So how can we get near or come near to God? Well, there are, in fact, three requirements. First, there's faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and then he will reward those who earnestly seek him." So we need that faith, that confidence, that trust in the eternal creator God, and we need to put our faith and our full confidence in him. And that's a requirement we see from his word. And then also, another requirement, it's got to be through Christ. John 14:6. Jesus is talking, and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." How can that be complicated? How is that so difficult to understand? And how is it that people then can say all religions lead to God and live a good life and it'll be all right in the end? When Jesus categorically states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So the requirement is in coming near to God is faith, and it's got to be through the Lord Jesus. There's got to be sincerity as well. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 22. "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of faith, and having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed from our guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." So it's important, if we're going to come near to God, that we have faith and we come through Christ with a sincere heart. And we come near to God, he guarantees that he will come near to us. As we come near to him, he will bless us right here and right now. Isn't that good news? That he is all that we need. So let's just look a little bit deeper then. How can we come, and how do we need to come? Because that's so very, very important. How? Well, first, we come just as we are. Come near to God just as you are. Some people say, "I'll come near to God, I'll become a Christian when I've cleaned my life up, when I've got rid of that habit, when I've sorted out my relationship with other people." But God says, just as you are, you come just as you are, and he will receive you. John 6 and verse 37. "All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive them away." God will never turn his back on us. We come near to him just as we are, with all our sin, with all our failures, and he will never, ever drive us away. And he'll never say, "Just a minute," or, I'll deal with that later. He's there for us right away. And it means exactly what it says. If anyone, anywhere, anytime come to the Lord Jesus, he will receive them. No one will ever be turned away. There's no ifs and buts involved in this at all. And even if we've got a troubled soul or troubled heart, we can go to him. And just as we are, with all of those hang-ups, with all of those hurts, with all of those pains, so we don't have to look back with anger. We come near to the Lord, and he will meet us at our point of need. We will come near to him with our need, and the Lord will come near to us, and he will receive us. Just as I am. Without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Instead of looking back on those hurtful, painful things We could be here a long time, couldn't we, if we went around the room, say, all those things in this past year. Just come to the Lord, just as you are, and ask him to help you and to bless you. He wants to do that right here and right now. Let's just do that, shall we? Let's just quietly pray. You can pray quietly to the Lord. Think of those things that have hurt you, those fractured relationships that you haven't put right, those painful situations that you're dealing with, that illness that you've asked the Lord to heal you, but he's chosen to give you strength. Instead of looking back in anger, come to the Lord, just as you are, and know his help and his strength. How do we come? Just as we are. But also, secondly, we come and confess. We come near to God and confess our sin. The thrilling thing is this, he will forgive us. Look at 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you have a guilty, if you have a conscience and you feel guilty and you're conscious of some sin that you've committed, some guilt in some way, we can confess it to the Lord. And we need to come and specifically lay them all before the Lord. Maybe we've hurt other people. Maybe we've grieved the Lord. And we come and confess it to the Lord. And the Lord will cleanse us, forgive us, right here and right now, because he acts upon his promises. So we need to come and we make our confession to God and to God alone. Isn't that good news that we can come to the Lord Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man, and we confess our sin to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sin to God. Be specific. Not general. You know those things that are bugging you. You know those things that you haven't dealt with. You know how bitter you can become so often. Don't look back in anger. Specifically confess them to God. Don't be like the children who pray, you know, God bless mummy, God bless daddy, and make me good. Amen. We need to be a little bit more specific, don't we, about perhaps that temper, or about that anger, or maybe our thought pattern, or maybe we even blame God for things. We can confess them. We come near to God and we confess. The moment that you make that confession to the Lord, he promises to forgive and to cleanse you. What an encouragement that is for every one of us. When we are conscious of sin, we come near to God, we confess to him, and we receive from him his pardon and his cleansing. What a relief to know that because we've confessed our sin, that he receives us, and we know that he has fully and freely forgiven us, and we can claim his promises that his sin, our sin, is completely dealt with. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, whoever conceals a sin, and we're good at that, aren't we, concealing our sin? Concealing perhaps as a fractured relationship or something that we need to deal with, and as far as everybody else are concerned, it's great and we smile, everything's good, but that's not going to help at all. But whoever conceals sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Let's come near to God this morning, just as we are. Let's come and confess. And thirdly, we need to come with all our baggage. Come near to God with your troubles and your worries and your distress, your anxiety, and we could go on. Bring them all. We come with all of that, and he will help you. That's good news. We don't have to carry that baggage anymore. because we come with it and we leave it with the Lord. Psalm 50 and verse 15, come, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You will honor me. The Lord guarantees to help us. He guarantees to help the burdened. He promised to deliver us and to help us. When we have those trials and those difficulties, we can hand it all over to the Lord. And he would deal with it for his glory and the way that he knows best. Sometimes maybe we come with a sickness or an illness and we ask the Lord to heal us and he heals us. And sometimes we come and ask him to heal us and he says, no, but I'll give you the strength. I'll see you through. But whatever I do, heal you or give you that problem, it's all for my glory and your ultimate good. Do not despair. Turn to the Lord himself. Act upon his promises. And he has made those promises for you and for me. And he will care for you. Faithful one. So unchanging. Ageless one. You're my rock of peace. Lord, of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in time of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Psalm 55 and verse 22 means that we bring that matter to the Lord because nothing is too big for him to solve and deal with and to help us and to see us through. But we can come to him because we're not big enough and he is. We're not strong enough, but he is. And he's willing to help us and to see us through. Perhaps you've asked others to help you in a specific thing. Well, that's okay. Or maybe you've been to a counselor, and I don't know when that became popular, but anyway, but we need to come to the Lord. We need to fight because everyone else is going to fail us ultimately. They're not going to provide. They're going to prove inadequate. So we come near to the Lord and he is able to undertake for us. No problem is too great for the Lord. Did you hear that? Don't think you did. No problem is too great for the Lord. Amen. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Luke 1 and verse 37, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And as a result of coming to the Almighty, not looking back with anger, but handing it all over to him, and we come to him, and what do we find? We find that he will strengthen us. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And it goes on to about being growing tired and weary, not understanding or fathoming how great God is. But it says this in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. Have you been a bit weary this week or this year? Weary, even in well-doing. Sometimes life is difficult, isn't it? People let us down. Situations haven't gone our way. Don't look back in anger. Realize that the Lord is waiting to give you strength. He will give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young man stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Or we could quote Psalm 100 And verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And as we think about our confession and our prayer and the way that we mess up, let's always start with thanksgiving to the Lord. As we come to him, we come with thanksgiving. It's a way of stepping into the presence of the Almighty. Instead of coming and saying, oh, Lord, I've got this problem, I've let down 101 different things, come and think of how great he is and praise him. It will help us as we come into the presence of the Almighty. We remember all of those things that he's done for us, how he's blessed us and helped us in the past. It will remind us that he is the giver of all gifts. All good gifts have come from him. And that he is working all things together for good to those who love him and according to his promises. And when we count our blessings and name them one by one, we will be amazed what God has done. It will then deepen our faith and bring us even closer to the Lord. Because when I am weak, remember, he is strong. So rather than looking back with anger, remember how strong the Lord is. Rather than moaning the fact that I'm weak, rejoice that God has yet another opportunity to work in you for his purpose and his glory. It's another chance for people to see God at work in me. Another time for God to be glorified. We may not be able to fix things, but place it into God's hands. He knows what is best. We may be weak and even ashamed of our weakness, but God is our loving Heavenly Father, and he will help us. That's one of the gifts he wants to give us, his help, his strength. Or maybe, perhaps, we look back over this year and we see that we've been tempted in some area. And as a result of that temptation and the pressure, we've given in to it. How can we escape that? Come near to God. Confess your weakness. Recognize that he is the eternal creator of the world, and he will give strength to the weary. Come near to him and wait on him, and you will renew your strength. And then he will guide us. I think that's a song that came to mind the other day. It's about 50 years old. But I do remember singing it as a child. Perhaps a bit more. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all I need for tomorrow. Peter, for example, he was led to witness to the household of a Roman centurion. How amazing God worked it and led him. And the Spirit of God led other Christians in Antioch to set Paul and Barnabas free for special service. And then the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus began to penetrate the then known world. And now God wants to continue leading you and blessing you. The writer to the Hebrews put it this way and said in Hebrews 13:21, God can equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. God is working in us, guiding us. Don't just say, oh, everything went wrong. Don't look back in anger. Just say, oh, that's the way it was, and that's the way I messed up. And come near to God, confess it to him. He'll strengthen you. He will then guide you. As Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. There's nothing we need more than the guidance of the Lord. Remember that God is more anxious and more willing to guide us than we are to be led. And look at Acts 16, and you'll see how definitely and specifically the Holy Spirit led Paul and his colleagues. It's important to remember that if we want to know these things, his strength, his guidance, his blessing, we must come near to God. And he will come near to you. Will you do that? Not only now, but in every time of need, every time we mess up. Don't look back in anger with others, yourself, or even God. Confess, and then come near to him. He will come near to us. He'll strengthen us, and he'll guide us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your love. We thank you that we've been able to think about those love songs from heaven, and the Lord Jesus coming and loving us and demonstrating his love upon the cross. Thank you, Father God, that because of Jesus, we're no longer slaves to fear, because you live in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that that's the cornerstone of all that we believe. The way may be difficult, but you will make a way as we seek to live our life in Christ alone. And so we give you thanks and pray that as we enjoy fellowship and later go home, we pray that we will know the peace of God that passes all our understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.